in the old days, education used to be based on the three R's, didn't it? You know, of course, what they are. Reading, writing and arithmetic. Dodgy spelling, I know, but those they are. They're making a bit of a comeback. Three boys at a recent messy church told me they were learning the 6 and 9 times tables, and we went through and they were indeed learning them. I thought, very good. Set me thinking, I wonder how you did at the three R's. Here's my experience. Reading, fine. We used to read out long lists of words at primary school. Did you? It'd work out our reading age. And it showed that mine was okay. So that was fine. Now, writing. A major problem. Charlie calls my script hieroglyphics. Now, I can't actually spell that. I've written it down here as it's... I've always had issues with writing. Margaret and Jeff could never read my geography reports on Kevin. Margaret, it was because you didn't... Well, Margaret's here, isn't she? Yeah, you didn't hold them upside down, you know, in the mirror. That was the thing. Teachers told me when I was at school that I needed to change my writing or else I'd do badly. Now, my excuse is that I'm left-handed. But was taught to write right-handed, because when I first went to primary school, apparently I used to scribble away with one hand and then with the other when I got tired. And Mrs. Edwards, the teacher, asked Mum which hand she'd like me to be taught to write with. And this being 1949, Mum said, well, if it's all the same to you, you know, right-handed. No, that's it. It's not my fault, you see. I mean, that my writing... It used to be better than it is now. Occasionally, I have trouble reading it myself. And then I know, but I blame bifocals on that, because you're always writing on the line of the bifocal, aren't you? I have varifocals, yeah, well, that would be the answer, wouldn't it? But there we are, yes. Arithmetic, the third R. Sums, fine. Adding up, long division, no problem. Mental arithmetic, I've always enjoyed. I mean, adding up temperatures from my weather station and dividing by 31 or 30, that's a doddle. But algebra, those brackets, you know, square, round and squiggly, quadratic equations, I never really got onto why we were doing them. And geometry, congruent triangles, proving angles, it was all a mystery. I mean, I passed O-level maths because we had sections and we were told... And my math set which ones not to dream of attempting, you see. So that's all right. I reckon of the three R's, probably out of the three, I might get 1.5. Not really very good. But I want you to hold in your mind the thought of the three R's as we look at today's gospel reading, because we're going to come back then to another, much more important, three R's. So our gospel reading. Well, it's immediately after the high of his baptism and the confirmation that he was God's chosen one, his beloved son, that Jesus faces up to the choices of how he's to fulfill his calling. What kind of Messiah is he going to be? In the wilderness alone, he agonizes for 6 weeks. No, we're told 40 days, roughly. You know, it's a long time to agonize over something. And he has the thought, the temptation, if you play your cards right, you could really make a name for yourself. He could turn stones into bread for himself and indeed all the other hungry people. Perhaps he could work something of an economic miracle. But they'd not be really satisfied, or not for long. He could do something really spectacular to win people. An amazing stunt. But he'd have to keep doing them. Each one more remarkable than the one before. Or he could set his sights lower. Work through the system. Lead a revolt to throw out the Romans. Get involved deeply in the politics of the time. Very popular it would be, at least initially. Almost expected that the Messiah would do that. But... really, he'd be compromised and beholden to others. All three paths, on the surface, could be good. But not the best. and they probably wouldn't be they probably wouldn't last. If he did these things, he'd be the centre of attention. He'd be a superstar, a celebrity, really powerful. And if we updated it, you could just imagine him in the headlines, on all the front pages, on TV and current affairs slots, solving economic crises, feeding the hungry, sorting out the banks. Now, that would be popular. Being a spectacular TV evangelist, just touch the screen and you'll be healed. Or a sort of kind of UN supremo who globetrot to sort out Syria, Central Africa, Afghanistan, the Ukraine, so the list goes on. Very attractive suggestions, but falsely seductive. Not real game changers, because for him, they'd always be the but. They'd rather be false dawns, and Jesus knew this. He knew that what was needed was change, transformation in men's hearts. To do this, to reveal God to people, was his mission. So he chooses, and I read somewhere, he chooses the lonely way of trusting in the power of love rather than in the love of power. There's all the difference in the world in that. And so he's obedient, even to death on the cross. And this is God's way. As Charlie said last week, it is all about Jesus, showing us all by his death and resurrection how much God loves us, all of us ordinary people, showing us his nature in a way that we can understand clearly. It seems to me that's really good news that can change everything. And because he chose this way, because he was obedient, it means he isn't just a figure in history. I mean, if he'd succumbed to the temptations, he would be up there with the figures in history who had done remarkable things. But that would be it. He's actually a living presence. There's that lovely little chorus we sometimes sing, or we used to sing, "I serve a risen saviour." Different from a figure in history. And he's able to deliver the three R's that we really do need, that God wants us to experience, that not the spots off the three R's of education. So I leave them with you. First R, that Jesus offers release from the past, from the hang-ups, the regrets, perhaps the guilt, that can so easily weigh us down, or the if-onlys and dashed hopes. Sometimes people look back and think that things might have been very different. Jesus offers forgiveness, a new start to us, just as he did to people he met in his ministry, to whom he often said, "Go in peace." You know, free from your past. And amazingly, they did. We read they went on their way rejoicing. He didn't condemn them. He didn't condemn people. He said, "I'll give you a new start. Trust me. Love me. Go in peace." And I reckon God's love, this lens might be able to do that for us as well. In God's love also, there are resources, the second R, for the present, for all that life throws at us, and it throws an awful lot at us sometimes, doesn't it? Dark days when nothing seems to make sense. Anguish, stress. Yes, sometimes our lives are as glorious and plain sailing as the weather is today. And we're glad of that. But we know, like today's weather, it ain't going to probably last forever. There will be dark days. Well, in Jesus, God is with us. He promises that. He says he will never forsake us. And he understands what life is all about. He understands failures and stresses. He understands rejection and grief because he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, we read. So it isn't that he's far above us and doesn't, you know, like people say Mr. Cameron is out of touch, he doesn't understand how real people live. God does understand how real people live. And he knows all about it. St. Paul found God's grace sufficient for every day, and he had complete confidence in it. Paul says somewhere else that we're co-workers. Sometimes we want to imagine that we could be helping God to weave a tapestry. Right? But we're working on the back with him. And the back of tapestries look a mess, don't they? I mean, if I touch one, the front would look a mess as well. But I mean, the back of tapestries look a mess. There are threads hanging out, and you can't get the picture. But the finish article from the front is wonderful. Or another way of thinking about it, that our world is a building site. You know, work is going on. And when I was growing up, they were building Spaghetti Junction just north of Birmingham. Which is wonderful now. Well, probably it's being pulled down, I don't know. But, you know, you can get around it. In the days it was being built, it was an utter devastation. Got bits of concrete and mud and water and everything else. But, you know, when it's finished. Now, we don't see the finished article. We see puzzling reflections in a mirror, don't we? God says, trust me. Trust my love. And one day there is, out of this life, a wonderful picture. And the love we're called to trust is the mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead. And that's able to take our present lives and transform them. Because you see, the future is in his hands too. He offers us the third R, reassurance, that our lives are and always will be in his hands of love. That in the words of the psalmist, his goodness and love follow us all the days of our lives. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In our monthly communion services here are the words, nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing in all creation. Because we believe that by dying and rising, Jesus has destroyed all the powers of evil and even death itself. So on dying, we will be with God. Beyond language or imagining. It's only pictures in the Bible, but greater and more wonderful than you and I can imagine. What a prospect. Although even Paul, when he weighs up living and dying, reckons he'd be quite keen to go on living for a bit longer and doing God's work. When someone we love dies, from our point of view, there's emptiness, grief and darkness, because there's real loss. But for them, they have gone to be with God. So we should be glad for them. And there's the sure and certain hope that all shall be well for them and us. A wonderful promise that can give us peace and hope, whatever our lives at the present time. This was in the Church Times last week. Following Christ is good news. It is forgiveness in a blame-filled world, purpose in a confusing world, and hope beyond death in a world afraid of its mortality. And God has so made us that following Jesus can only be done in community. It cannot be done on our own. Well, then this Lent, in the light of the choices Jesus made in the wilderness, let us let God work in us his three R's of release, resources and reassurance, so that you and I will become ever more part of the community of faith as we go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.